Standing by to weigh in on this is Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith. She began her career as a police dispatcher. That was at the age of 17 and has worked her way up through law enforcement. She's been there for over 20 years and now is the national spokesperson for the National Police Association. And Sergeant, how are you on this glorious Thanksgiving Day?
Hey, I'm great, and thanks so much for having me on a wonderful day, but again, not so wonderful for a lot of families in Virginia.
No, not at all, and this on the heels of what happened at that nightclub a couple of days before that, and a shooting on the University of Virginia campus a couple of days before that. Look, if somebody is hell-bent on shooting people up, it's a little difficult for the police to do anything preemptive. I'm just wondering if there is anything that the police could have done here, and if so, what would that have been?
Well, in the situation in Chesapeake, you know, we had a guy who's been, you know, employed for 12 years with Walmart, but as we're starting to find out now, he had said some kind of crazy stuff to some of his employees. He had been acting out, acting bizarrely. And apparently either nobody reported it or nobody did anything about it. Look, you are allowed to say crazy things. You're allowed to say hateful things. The problem is we're in an atmosphere right now where even though we talk about if you see something, say something, most of the time people don't say anything. And understand that law enforcement is limited in what we can do, even even criminals have a First Amendment right to say what we want. So you're right. We've got to look at preempting these kind of things. We've got to look at preventing them. And it can be done, but it's a big issue.
Well, yeah, you raise a great point. If you see something, say something. And let's play that out just a little bit. I'm sure in the back of somebody's mind, they either dismiss it or they say, I just don't want to get involved. Or even worse, they may say to themselves, look, if I see this, I say that, and then they drag this person in, do I then become a target after all of this talk about see something, say something with regard to a specific incident? Do I now become a target for something besides getting shot? It could be harassment. It could be anything else. And I think people weigh in the back of their minds, you know what, I'm just not going to get involved. I think there's a lot of that that goes on.
Well, you're absolutely right. We are in an atmosphere now where every crime, every notorious crime, let me say that, is somehow politicized. And so if someone says something, then they're going to wonder, am I going to be called a racist? Am I going to be called sexist? Am I going to be called homophobic, Islamophobic, whatever phobic you want to talk about? And so, again, people just say, you know what? I don't want to deal with it. I'm not going to report it. We have got to get past that. And how do we do that? We need to do it through education. We need to do it through media cooperation. We need politicians to stop politicizing particularly notorious shootings like we saw in Colorado. We've got to stop politicizing these situations and then ignoring the ones that we can't feel we can politicize. That's one of the big problems here. We have also got to look at, we're in a very violent society right now because for the last 2.5 years, we have vilified law enforcement. We have vilified the criminal justice system. We have elected a bunch of, if you'll forgive me, far left prosecutors who let people out. We have no cash bail in a lot of areas. We're in a criminal centric, a pro criminal, if you will, atmosphere right now. We got to go back to pro victim, pro law and order, pro policing atmosphere to stem this violence.
Well, you're not going to get that from the current administration because that's not what they're all about. And unfortunately, you have a lot of those prosecutors you talked about throughout the country who have been funded by people like George Soros who don't believe in that. They believe that it's not really the victim who's the victim. It's the perpetrator who's the victim. Now, thank God. And I think everybody here knows this. You may not know this, but both of my kids are county prosecutors. And they work for one of the best county prosecutors in the world, a guy by the name of Joe Dieters. And he's no nonsense about this. You know, if you break the law, you're going to pay for breaking the law. And if you do something like what happened in Walmart, you will be held to the fullest extent of the law. So but I think you're right. I think that there is a prevailing attitude, particularly in bigger cities, unfortunately blue cities like L.A., Chicago, New York, where it's just a way of life. And then all of a sudden this pops up in Chesapeake, Virginia. Now, I don't know the politics in Chesapeake. I don't know the police in Chesapeake. Don't know the prosecutor in Chesapeake. I just know some guy walked into a Walmart with a gun and started shooting. And and I don't know where this goes after this, because the guy's dead. I mean, how do you then prosecute this in the minds of the public, knowing that the guy that pulled it off is dead? I mean, I'm afraid this thing is going to be out of once the funerals are done, it's going to be out of sight, out of mind, and let's just wonder where the next one is going to be. I'm afraid that's what's going to happen here.
Well, what law enforcement is going to do is conduct a full and intensive investigation as though the perpetrator is still alive. They will definitely get to the bottom of this. And it's going to take weeks. You know, they're going to go and interview the suspect's family members, are going to interview the employees and find out what was happening. And I think that we're probably going to find out that we had some, warning signs, you know, as to whether this was going to happen. You know, we used to talk a lot about workplace violence. Mm-hmm. Remember that old term, going postal? Mm-hmm. You know, we used to talk about that 10 or 15 years ago. And now, again, things have become so politicized that mostly what we talk about is got to get rid of guns. A, this is the United States of America. We're not going to get rid of guns. But B, we have got to go back to, again, a pro-law and order, pro-life, if you will. I'm not talking about abortion, but just a pro-respect for life atmosphere here in this country. And that does indeed start at home, and then it continues in our faith communities, and it continues in politics and the media, and of course in our criminal justice system. We have to vilify the villains, the criminals, and stop vilifying law enforcement and stop politicizing the prosecution of criminals.
You know, a lot of these guys just fall through the cracks. You know, they do. I mean, the Uvalde shooter, I don't know, maybe this guy did. I mean, there were warning signs. Nobody paid attention, kind of fell through the cracks. I think there has been a general lack of appreciation and certainly a lack of funding over the course of the last four decades for the study of mental health and why these things happen. The left will dismiss it. They'll say it's a gun problem. But no, it is a mental health problem. There was something wrong with this guy that shot up this Walmart. And my fear is because we've had that lack of mental health, it hasn't been something that has been presented to mothers, fathers, even kids, that this is not a sign of weakness. You know, we got a problem here. We're going to go try and figure out why you're saying these things and doing these things at age 12 and 13 so you don't do something like this guy did when he was 31. I think we need to focus a lot on that, Sergeant, because I think the focus has been off that. And you're right, we live in a violent society where there's violence in the home, even if it's a placid home. You have violent video games, violent television shows. Who knows how things are processed by everyone? Everyone doesn't process things the same way. I really think that we really need to attack this as much from that angle as we do the practical angle of prevention and follow-up. Would you agree?
I do agree with that. And I would implore everyone listening to this, if today, as you are sitting as an individual in an individual family or friend situation, take a look around and see if you see someone in your friend circle or in your family who is struggling mentally and emotionally. Engage them, start talking to them. And if you see some signs that they are struggling, that maybe they have some anger, some violent tendencies, or just some horrible sadness and struggle, that you reach out to them, because you're absolutely right. And this mental health situation is going to have to start individually and then family by family, friend to friend. So if everyone today would take a look around the Thanksgiving table and be thankful, but then also say, who is it in my life? Who is it in my family that needs help? And then do something about it.
You know, Sergeant, you made one other point that I want to get to here, and that it's open season on cops. And you might get what played out in Minnesota a couple, three summers ago. You might get that, and people look at it, oh, we got to defund the police. Oh, the police are terrible. Oh, we need to put social workers on criminal cases and not the police. All of that stuff that festered 3 years ago. And I think we're seeing the fruits of that in a lot of cities that chose to go down that road. And some of those cities are choosing now to say, wait a minute, that might not have been the smartest thing in the world to do. I think you're going to get bad apples in every walk of life. They're going to be bad cops. They're going to be bad talk show hosts. They're just going to be bad people. But 99% of the cops that are out there, they want to do two things. They want to go to work. They want to do their job. And they want to go home at night and see their family. And I think we've got to get back to that kind of belief in law enforcement. And when the bad apples pop up, you deal with them, but you don't castigate everybody in that profession because somebody did something that was in the case of what happened in Minnesota, absolutely horrendous. I think we need to get back to that, don't you? I'm sure you feel that way.
Well, of course. And, you know, law enforcement is really one of the few professions where when one law enforcement officer does something wrong, we excoriate the entire profession. You know, there's been over 350 notorious cases of teachers being arrested this year already for sexual crimes. We don't destroy the entire teaching profession because of that. We look at the individuals. There's 250,000 people a year die of medical mistakes. We do not try and destroy the medical profession. Nobody hates a bad cop more than the rest of us, the good cops out there. But now, because of this 2.5 year long vilification of American law enforcement and the defunding movement, it's not going to be enough just to refund our police departments. We are going to have to work hard as Americans, as a whole nation, to lift up American law enforcement. And you know, when you talk about mental health, our mental health is important as well. So I would ask people again, and that's why we ask you to go to nationalpolice.org and see what you can do to help lift up your local, state, and county law enforcement, to let them know that you feel they're important, because we have a retention crisis in this profession, and we also have a recruiting crisis. We can't get new people to come to this profession because they're hearing all the bad things said about it, and we need cops.
Yeah, you got that right. Absolutely. Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith, spokesperson, National Police Association. Thank you for joining us on this day particularly. You have a great day, and I'm sure we'll visit down the road. Thank you.
I look forward to it, and happy Thanksgiving.